The first reading comes from John 14, verses 23 to 29. Jesus answered him, "Whoever loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and my Father and I will come to him and live with him. Whoever does not love me does not obey my teaching, and the teaching you have heard is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am leaving, but I will come back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for he is greater than I. I have told you this now, before it all happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Our second reading is from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 to 15. That night, Paul had a vision in which he saw a Macedonian standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." As soon as Paul had this vision, we got ready to leave for Macedonia, because we decided that God had called us to preach the good news to the people there. We left by ship from Troas and sailed straight across to Samothrace and the next day to Neapolis. From there we went inland to Philippi, a city of the first district of Macedonia. It is also a Roman colony. We spent several days there. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city to the riverside, where we thought there would be a place where Jews gathered for prayer. We sat down and talked to the women who gathered there. One of those who heard us was Lydia from Thyatira, who was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a woman who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and the people of her house had been baptized, she invited us, "Come and stay in my house if you have decided that I am a true believer in the Lord." And she persuaded us to go. Now, just to expand on that, we're going to have a marvelous sketch by two marvelous actors to just illustrate that reading a bit more. "Welcome to Troas Airport, sir. Angel Airlines, flights to Greece and Asia."
"Two tickets for Asia, please."
"What do you want to go there for, sir?"
"I'm sorry?"
"What do you want to go there?"
"Is there some kind of problem?"
"Greece is much better. The culture, the coffee shops, proper toilets."
"I'm not interested in my personal comfort."
"But Greece is tough. All that marble's really hard on the feet, sir."
"This is all Greek to me. You're an airline. You're supposed to give me what I want."
"We have your best interests at heart, sir."
"Let me tell you, I'm a determined man. I've experienced a lot of hardships going to Asia, and I'm not giving up now."
"You wouldn't be disobeying God now, would you, sir?"
"What?"
"If you are, we can arrange for you to be swallowed by a whale."
"At 30,000 feet?
"A very high jumping one, sir."
"Can't I just take a peep at Asia? Just to see if you're right."
"Very well." "Oh, you just missed the flight, sir. It's the only one this year. I'll give you a ticket for Greece instead."
"I don't want to go to Greece."
"But they need a missionary to help them, sir. Could be a big Greek revival. Circumstances block, God leading."
"Look, You're an airline, not my spiritual director.
Angel Airlines. We tell people where to go.
Angel Airlines. Never heard of you. Oh. Angel Airlines. Oh, is this a dream?
A flight of fancy, sir.
I'm sorry. Two tickets to Greece, please.
Free downgrade to missionary class, sir?
That's strapped to the wing.
On a wing and a prayer, sir.
Thank you so much. Circumstances block, God's leading, dreams. Put that in my next letter. Thank you.
As you've probably gathered by now from the readings and the sketch and the things that we've done already in the service, the theme this morning is the Lord's opening of our hearts and minds and our receiving of peace through the Holy Spirit. Going back to our first reading from John, this was part of John's, what the Bible scholars call farewell discourses. There are a lot of them in the Bible, when usually in the Old Testament, when figures know that their end is coming and they leave instructions for how to go on when they've gone. We see those of Jacob in Genesis 49, Moses in Deuteronomy 3, David in 1 Chronicles 28. And what all these have in common is they look to the past and to the future in what they're saying. Jesus explains the significance of his death, saying that he's going to the Father in verse 28. And only those of us that love Jesus and try and live by his word can see that his death is an outpouring of God's love. This love and understanding is the work of the Holy Spirit, or in your version of the Bible, it's the word helper, which I think is a really good way of explaining it. Other versions say advocate or paraclete. So the Holy Spirit does the Father's work of encouragement and reconciliation, rather than the work that the world does sometimes, unfortunately, of condemnation and exclusion. So the Holy Spirit is the key to holding the past and the future coming together in the present. So Jesus going to the Father and the Spirit coming to the people in the reading in John in the same time, in verse 26, brings to all the peace of Christ, where the troubled hearts can rejoice in the fulfillment of God's promise and his lasting presence. So when Jesus has gone, God will send the Spirit as a helper for those on their continuing journey of faith to remind them of all he taught and all he shared with them. So I just want you to think for a minute, what teachings and stories of Jesus that you've received inform your faith journey? There's lots of people who've been influential. I don't know much about the history of Christ Church, but I know in my home church of Lancaster Road, and your church here at Christ Church have shared a journey, haven't we, for many years. And in more recent times, we've shared some influential people. I'm thinking of Sylvia, who's sitting over there's dear dad, George, who came to Lancaster Road to be a minister in the 70s. And also thinking of Terry, who left Lancaster Road to come here to be the BB captain. So we have a shared history, don't we? Shared people who've been influential on the church. And the Ridge family left here, didn't they, to form the church at Lancaster Road. And they were also very influential in the community in other ways, because they formed the Carlton House Doctor's Surgery in Tenniswood Road as well, which is still going. So getting back to what I was saying, there's lots of people, isn't there, over the years that keep passing on the faith to other people as we pass on, and then new people keep moving the faith. So all these teachings have passed down over the years, but we have to make sure we remember this wisdom and that we act on it. In our reading from Acts, It's a record, really, of the first baptisms done by Paul, those of Lydia and her household. She was the first named person who responded to Paul's teaching, a worshipper of God. She was a Gentile who worshipped Israel's God. I thought I'd do something rather, as she was a dealer in luxurious purple cloth, I thought I'd wear purple this morning just to illustrate the point. So there you go. She was a dealer in luxurious purple cloth, and she made it with a dye local to her home in Thyatira. It was worn only by rich people, not in this case, I'm afraid. And she had a home large enough to accommodate lots of visitors, so she must have been quite a wealthy woman, I think. Perhaps she was like the Gentile centurion in Luke 7, who provided a place of prayer for Jews outside the city gate and wasn't afraid of being identified with people that others were often suspicious of. Lydia's heart has really been opened by the Lord, and she and her household were baptized, and her generosity led to the founding of the first Christian community in Europe, in Philippi. So, paraclete, advocate, helper, one who answers the call. Jesus was a helper himself to many during his ministry, wasn't he? We only have to go back to further in John, back to chapter 8. There was the woman who'd committed adultery. She was voiceless and silent, and Jesus spoke up for her, didn't he? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. We are all empowered by the Holy Spirit to answer this call. But whose call are we listening out for? Are there people and groups locally who need us to speak out for them? Turning that around, sometimes do we need people to speak out for us, and are we too proud to let them? Do we always allow others to help us, to be our helper in our times of need? The Holy Spirit also came to give us peace. Now, I don't know about you, but I always find it pretty depressing to read or watch the news these days. It's pretty grim, isn't it? In a world where the news is regularly dominated by war, violence, and terrorism, sometimes it's quite tempting to think of peace merely as an absence of conflict, no wars, doesn't it? The world in Jesus' time really wasn't that different from our world in some aspects. There was violence and unrest then as well. And even under the peacefulness when the Romans were ruling, because they'd had military conquests, hadn't they? They'd taken places over and sometimes killed their opponents. But Jesus, as we know, offers a different kind of peace. So how can we bring about God's peace in ourselves, our families and friends, communities, and the world? There's a well-known saying, isn't there? The grass is always greener on the other side. And I'm sure we've all experienced that feeling of when we're out and it's pouring with rain, like it has been a lot the last couple of weeks, and we're cold, and you think, oh, I wish I was in a lovely sunny place, really warm. And part of our faith, part of the way of achieving this peace, is looking forward to a better place. But it won't be found here. It's the new heaven and the new earth that we hear about in Revelation 21, which is perfect, not like our present world. When I was a young girl, I don't know if any of you had one of these as well, I had one of those special pens. It was a secret agent's pen, I think it was called, and it used to write in invisible ink on paper that you couldn't see. It was just a plain piece of paper. I did try to get hold of one, but they don't seem to do them anymore. Only when you held it up to the light could you see what was written. I guess a modern day equivalent of that is when you give in a note somewhere and they shine the light on it, don't they, or mark it with the pen to check that it's a genuine note. So God's light will be more than enough in the new world. We won't need any of these lights to check if things are genuine. In the new heaven and the new earth, God's light will be more than enough. But the brightness of it won't show up bad things, because there won't be any. Everything will be fresh and clean, not like the world now. We trust in God that something better is to come. I'm going to finish by telling you a little story, so I hope you're all sitting comfortably. A man once sought the perfect picture of peace, and he announced a competition to produce the most peaceful picture. Artists everywhere got busy, and paintings began to arrive from far and wide. Finally, the day of the competition came. The judges looked at one peaceful picture after another. They got down to the last two pictures. One depicted a lake surrounded by trees with a lovely soft red evening sky, and along a grassy shore, some sheep were grazing undisturbed. What a perfectly peaceful picture. Surely this was the winner. The second picture depicted a really tumultuous waterfall cascading down a rocky precipice. The sky was grey and dark, and stormy clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the middle of all this, a spindly tree clung to the rocks on the edge of the waterfall. One of the branches reached out in front of the water, and in this branch, a little bird had built her nest. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she sat on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover and protect her little ones, she manifested a peace that transcended earthly turmoil. May the Holy Spirit help us all to be like that little bird.